Welcome back into the Elite 2 podcast. We took a week off, had trouble coordinating schedules last week, but we are here. It is Jake Morocco. It is Steve Scott. Steve, what's good?
Dude, what's going on? I'm so excited to talk about Generation 1 one more time. One last time, I think, right?
Yes, that is, for now, the last time, unless they make another Generation 1 revamp or remake. But this is our first foray into the Switch. This is still Generation 7, which actually is surprising to me. I thought it was Generation 8, but it is still Generation 7. That's Let's Go Eevee and Let's Go Pikachu. This is the second remake of Generation 1, as Steve alluded to. And the first game's made for the Switch. Steve, do you own either of these?
I no longer do, but I did own Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu.
Well, that's great, because I have Let's Go Eevee. It's actually the game that enticed me to buy a Switch. Well, to be fair, a new Sword and Shield were coming out, but this is what was the genesis of me going to, or the impetus, rather, of me going to the store and buying a Switch, which is seems foreign now, because A, there are, like, no Switches to be found anywhere, and B, going to the store, not so much. But I remember, I really like this game. I remember when there was a graphic somebody tweeted out. It was like, you know, like one of those pick house A, B, and C, and it has the different games available to them. And I remember your co-host, Oliver Martell, over at Small State Big Takes, he called Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee a, quote, snooze fest. And I think that's a little unfair. I didn't love the games, but I really liked them because, again, it's Generation 1. It's getting to walk around with your Pokemon outside of the Pokeball. You develop that relationship and all that stuff. And it's still, I mean, even the worst Pokemon game is still a fun Pokemon game, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just my opinion.
I agree. I agree that any Pokemon game is a fun game, of course. But I'm going to have to say on an Oliver side here, I thought it was a snooze fest myself, and I actually ended up selling it before I beat it.
Wow. Really?
I was like, dude, how many times do I have to play this? I was playing it. You know, I wasn't even that far in the game, actually. It was when you just get to, you're just able to, like, drop your Pokemon off at the daycare center.
Okay. Well, that's not very far, yeah, I guess.
Not very far.
I can get what you mean, but I think it's one of its limitations is that, you know, you can't obviously evolve either the Pokemon Pikachu. You're used to that because that's how Pokemon Yellow was. But not being able to evolve Eevee into one of its billion evolutions
is
kind of sucks. Yeah. But, I mean, that being said, as we'll get into in a few minutes, it can learn moves that aren't just normal type, which is nice. I remember briefly when I first played the game, I caught another Eevee, evolved it into a Vaporeon, and started playing with that. Then I realized that the other one just grows way faster, and I'm like, all right, this is not worth my time. So I just went back to the Eevee and just taught it all those silly moves that are different types. But it's, look, it's not the most fun Pokemon game. It's probably the least enjoyable Generation 1 game of any kind. I mean, the first generations are fantastic. Fire and Leaf Green are very good, but Pikachu and Eevee are just fine. I mean, like we've said, like there isn't a terrible Pokemon game. Like, we don't love Black and White, but, like, it's still a Pokemon game. Like, still play it, but, you know,
I appreciate about this game is that you know why it exists. It's to bring in the kids. It's one more time. Let's show the kids what the old people love, because I mean, you and I, we love it. Our first generation was the first generation. The real generations were OGs. That's the way it is.
That's right.
So, welcome to the Switch, to the kids. And it was obvious from the start why they went with Gen 1, too.
Yeah.
That's
a good point. And it's to bring in the younger audience, obviously. And they tried a couple of other gimmicks with it, too. But at the end of the day, also what I thought they did this for is to showcase the new graphics and showcase what they can do with the Switch now, which they've only improved on every generation with the graphics. Mm-hmm. And yes, the classics are classics for a reason. But, I mean, there's just something different about being able to have this more 3D open world experience. Because I remember when they showed the first footage of Let's Go Eevee and Pikachu, I was like, wow, that looks incredible. Like,
yeah.
That's pretty cool. Like, I'm looking forward to seeing what this pans out as. And, I mean, obviously financial implications prevented me from buying a Switch at first. But then once I saved up money and I was like, you know, I'm going to get one. So I went to the store, bought it, got Let's Go Eevee with it, because I've already played Pokemon Yellow, so I know the whole playing with Pikachu thing. I'm like, let me try Eevee. I think it might be cool. So you run into the same fucking issue you do with Pikachu at the first gym, because it's just impossible to beat it with your starter Pokemon in this game. Mm-hmm. But it was still an enjoyable experience enough that I didn't regret buying the game, that's for sure. Like, I mean, as we'll get into next week, or actually later this week, because we're dropping two episodes this week, spoiler alert, unless you saw the Twitter account. I love Sword and Shield. I think Sword and Shield are maybe some of the best games they've made. And it's not just because graphically it looks amazing, but they've added some great Pokemon, and I didn't like max raid battles at first, but I've warmed up to them. But this game added enough new features where it was like, okay, that's kind of cool, but I feel like Fire Red and Leaf Green, they added those, the Sevii Islands. Like, that was cool. That was an extra feature. Like, wow, okay, that's a lot more exploration to do at the end. You can catch Pokemon from other generations. If they added a wrinkle like that into this game, I feel like it would have been a little bit more enjoyable and a little bit longer to play. Because I checked how much time I've logged on Let's Go Eevee. It's only 35 hours. I've logged probably, I've logged probably like 90 hours in a Pokemon Sword. And that was, before the expansion, probably more like 80-something. But that's at least double. And I don't think Eevee and Pikachu were supposed to be stopgap games, but they're kind of like that, because they don't take very long to complete. And they're the curse of Gen 1, unless it's Fire Red and Leaf Green, which they did a great job with. There isn't much to do afterwards. You get to go to Mount Moon, and there's Master Trainers. And that's Mount Cerulean. And there's Master Trainers. And that's pretty much it. And then you just complete the Pokedex, and then that's that. Like, you can go back to Victory Road, I guess, train your Pokemon more, but it's about it. That's the limitations that they were able to exceed with Gen 3 in Fire Red and Leaf Green, but not with this.
Sidebar, did you beat the expansion yet?
Yes, I did. You did. And that is next week's episode. We will get into Isle of Armor, and then we're going to wrap up Season 1 and preview Season 2, which we are both very excited about. It's going to be a good time. Isle of Armor, really good. There are some hitches to it where I'm not crazy about, but overall it's a pretty well done expansion for their first foray into that type of thing. But so just kind of diving into the overview. So you got Let's Go Pikachu, I got Let's Go Eevee. Was that just because that was your general preference? Was that because you just like Pikachu more? Because I mean, we usually start with talking about the starters, but there are only two. So. Right. And the game you buy, they are predetermined for you. So it really is, do you prefer Pikachu or do you prefer Eevee? And I don't know why my dumbass thought, I'm going to get Eevee because I can evolve it. I should have known that wasn't going to be the case, because why would that ever be the case in a game like this? But
I see your logic. I would have done the same thing. For the same reason. I didn't do that. I wanted Pikachu, but wow.
And you know, we're OGs, we played Pokemon Yellow, we know how it goes. You can't evolve Pikachu. It's just like in the anime, like, it doesn't evolve. Yeah. It has no interest at all. So I was like, you know, maybe Eevee will. It didn't at all. So I was faced with just playing with Eevee, but I like Pikachu a lot, but I wanted to do something different because, Let's Go Pikachu is more of a faithful Pokemon Yellow remake, but doing it with Eevee is a little bit different because that is, I believe that's, is that the Pokemon that Gary starts with?
Yeah, it is.
In the anime, I know that also to be true. But I can't remember if that's how it is in Pokemon Yellow. I think that's how it is.
That's how it is, yeah.
That's cool that you kind of get to do something different. You also, I didn't write it down on my notes, but you also encounter Green in this game for the first time, which is interesting. But I wanted the different experience of starting with not one of the original three starters, but not Pikachu, and going with Eevee, that's different. It gives you a little bit more different perspective, it's different strategy, and it allowed me to have a little bit more fun playing it, because Pikachu, while I love Pikachu, it's one of the most iconic video game characters ever. Mm-hmm. It's just, I wanted to try something a little bit different.
I commend you for that. I remember when it was coming out, I was thinking which one I wanted. And I don't know what it is. I've never truly gravitated towards Eevee. I think he's cool. I think Eevee's cool. I think the idea of him evolving to everything is cool. But I don't know. I like Pikachu. Pikachu's my boy. I played Pokemon Yellow, and that's why I went with him.
No, I get that. And it's very, I wrote down even on my list, like, I try to like remove the bias of the fact that Eevee has a billion great, well, mostly great evolutions. And yes, those are available in this game, but you have to catch an Eevee and then evolve it. But overall, it's a very versatile Pokemon in that regard, but you kind of have to try to remove the bias from it and look at it like, all right, well, Eevee just on its own, unless, and that's why they introduced all those moves for Eevee and Pikachu, so that they can learn different things. Mostly mm-hmm. Eevee, because Eevee just learning normal moves is pretty much useless. So that was a nice added thing in there. So I wrote that down, but we'll get into some more kind of, this is more just an overview of how the game is, because gym leaders, we've already discussed that ad nauseum for Gen 1. We've already discussed Elite Four and the champion and all that stuff for Gen 1. So it is essentially pointless to go over all of that because, spoiler, they're pretty much all the same. So we'll start with first game for the Switch. Like we said, that's the reason I bought one. You can use the Joy-Con controller to catch Pokemon. I never have done that. Have you done that?
I did do it. I did try it out because it was exciting, a new feature at the time. I was like, oh, I'll give it a shot.
How intuitive was it? Because I really don't remember doing it that much.
There was a, like, you know how, do you remember playing like Wii Sports, like Wii Bowling or Wii Golf? Mm-hmm. Like, you know how you do a certain flick of the wrist and it like, you know, it'd be perfect every time.
Right.
Like, at least with bowling, this is how it was with this. It would be like a little flick and you felt that muscle almost go on your metacarpal, you know what I mean? Like, whoop. Yeah. And then you got, It was a green light every time, but it was basically like playing Pokemon Go. It was like a meld of the two, which I didn't know was the deal at first. Like, I mean, in hindsight, I don't really remember, but I don't think that was a selling point to me that it was going to be like a Pokemon Go like mixture.
Right.
And at the time, I wasn't really. Then when I found out that's what it was. I don't know, because you had. Wasn't part of it you had to, like, catch a lot of people, too? Like, you had to, like it was, like you had to catch so many Pokemon of, like, a certain type?
Maybe. I don't remember that. Honestly, I've picked the game up since I beat it the first time. But that might have been part of it. But overall, I do. Obviously, the thing that sticks out the most is that you can't battle wild Pokemon anymore.
Yeah.
Which is something that when I first discovered it, I was like, I really hate that. Because
it's bad.
Like, yes, you get experience out of catching them anyway, but, like, you can't weaken them. At this point, it's pretty much the Safari Zone the entire game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, except the Safari Zone, you don't have to hit certain spots, but, like, you have to, like, kind of Steve alluded to there and tried to describe, like, it's an expanding and kind of shrinking circle that you have to hit the perfect time in order to catch the Pokemon the right way, or it'll run away or whatever happens to it, but it's not. I understand what they were trying to do. Like you said, they were trying to kind of work in the elements of Pokemon Go, a game that I entirely missed the wave on because I didn't have unlimited data at that point in my life.
Same here.
Walking around the neighborhood, just draining data from my phone wasn't. If I had unlimited data, I probably would have been really into it, but I just didn't, and I didn't have the time or the data, the finances, whatever, to really get into it and pay the overages to my dad at the time. So,
plus battery life too. Thing drained battery.
Exactly. And my battery wasn't great. So paying the data over just to my dad, you know, the battery getting drained, it absorbing a lot of my time that I didn't have, all that great stuff. Couldn't really get into it. But it's a very good point you make that they really did try to incorporate a lot of those elements. And for people that didn't really catch that wave, it kind of fell on deaf ears.
It almost felt like, too, like, when I, because I remember having trouble, I forgot what city it is, when you get a Squirtle.
I think is that Cerulean?
I think it is Cerulean.
If city. It's the same storyline as the games, then I think it's Cerulean.
Yeah, it is, yeah. In the original first generation, what'd you have to do to get a Squirtle then?
Didn't you have to, like, catch the criminal or something like that? I don't have my phone on me or else I would look it up. But I can't remember what you had to do to get Squirtle. I think you have to, like, solve something for Officer Jenny first, right?
Right. Yeah, it was something straightforward, like
I'm
that.
I'm sure there's
like
somebody screaming at the radio right now saying that's not what you doofuses.
Just tweet at us some hate. That's what I want to hear.
If you remember and we got it wrong, tweet at us and let us know.
But in this game, you had I'm positive you had to catch so many Pokemon. Like, it was like, and I think I had caught, like, 20 Pokemon and you needed, like, 45 at that point.
But you know, like, what? Now that you mention it, that does sound right. I can't remember what the kind of like what the levels were or what the tiers were that you had to do it for, but I do remember being frustrated that I had to go back and catch like all these different Pokemon and evolve them because, spoiler, evolving Pokemon, pretty difficult when you can't battle wild ones.
Exactly.
So you end up catching a billion Pokemon just because you can't do anything but either battle wild trainers, which, you know, they're there, but they're not as abundant as wild Pokemon. it's a little frustrating, and I get why that would make it boring and why that would kind of dissuade people from playing it. But yeah, so it's an interesting innovation. I get what they were trying to do, wanted to make something vastly different, one of the features, but for me, it just didn't work. The Pokeball Plus, I did not buy this. This allowed you to take Pokemon on the go and interact with them. And also, which more importantly to, you know, fanatical completers of the Pokedex, it was the only way you could obtain Mew also.
Ooh, I wonder how that worked.
I don't know, I'm assuming it gives you, like, a code or something like that, and you enter it in Mystery Gift, or I don't know, some weird, probably the same, along the same way of how we all got Genesect and you know, Meloetta and all that stuff when they did that giveaway all year, 3 years ago or whatever, probably longer than that now. There are no held items in the game, so it follows a lot of original Gen 1 rules. So you remember in Fire Red and Leaf Green where it was, like, a remake of Gen 1, but it allowed you to do Gen 2 things?
Yeah.
Not in this game. It eliminates time cycles, so no night and day. There's moves like Z-moves and weather-oriented moves that are gone. Abilities are gone. Breeding and eggs are gone. So all that stuff that we've been accustomed to, this is, I will give them credit, this is a true Gen 1 remake.
Yeah. Went back in time to the 80s.
Yes.
Pre-Pokemon days.
Exactly. I will say one of the things I hate that they did, though, is that they got rid of the bicycle.
That was bullshit. That's another problem I had, yeah.
That was, and it was Pokemon Road now, it's not Bicycle Road. Like, we know, we're all, the OGs like us, are very accustomed to Bicycle Road. It's in every, I mean, yeah, they phase it out down the road, but it's in every single game, at least to the first four generations or so.
Oh, and bicycling is a rite of passage when it comes to Pokemon. Come on, dude.
And, you know, we've discussed the Acrobike and the Mach Bike in Gen 3 and how much we hate the Acrobike and how stupid it is, but I mean, we're talking the consolidation of the bicycle market here in Kanto, and it's just very sad to see that after 15 years or 20 years or whatever it was of successful operation, they had to apparently move on to... there is a bike available in the game, but it's not essential to have. I can't remember what it's called, but it's... Maybe I wrote it down here. I don't think I did. Yeah, cycling is just gone. I wrote Blasphemy, because that's what it is.
It is.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But I will say, I think maybe my favorite addition to Pokemon from this game is seeing the wild Pokemon roaming in the grass.
Yeah.
I love that feature because
that's something we dreamed of, it seemed like, for so long, like seeing Pokemon not like guessing what they are doing in the grass, but actually seeing them in the grass.
And they kind of started doing that with the kind of when you had to creep up on the Pokemon in Gen 6 with Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, but they improved on it with this because, Steve, how many times have you been playing the game? There's a huge patch of grass, or there's a huge swath of, you know, massive water, and you're just trying to get to the other side. You're just trying to get to Moss Deep City. You're just trying to get to God knows where, and you run into, like, eight Pokemon, because obviously you can't see them. They're just in the grass. This, you can just avoid the Pokemon. Yes, some of them will chase after you, but this is by far my favorite new feature in the game.
Sorry, something's happening up there.
That's okay. Oh, we were talking about Pokemon that you could see in the overworld.
Yeah. Appreciate that. You could dodge them. You could do everything. And I'm a notorious Pokemon dodger. Like we're talking about. I catch one Pokemon of one sort or two, whatever. Like, you know, male, female, but not in this game. Obviously, no eggs. But otherwise, I'm all set, dude. Like, leave me alone. I don't want to see any more tentacles. And Tentacruels, leave me alone, dude. Oh, God,
dude, honestly, we you know my feelings on Tentacool and Tentacruel. I just absolutely can't stand them. Yeah, they're just the absolute worst. Absolute worst. Where was I on this list here? Had to fix some audio. 1 second. Oh, yeah. So, they... Also, the wild Pokemon, they got rid of this in subsequent games, and there's really only one subsequent game at this point, but they have red and blue auras around them that show they're smaller or larger, which, whatever.
Yeah. I guess
if you really care about getting the biggest Snorlax in the game, then go off. But, that's an interesting feature that they added in there. But kind of piggybacking on what you said real quick about how you're really just trying to avoid these Pokemon most of the time, I get that. Because unless it's one I haven't caught yet, I'm just like, I don't need to encounter 15 Sandshrews at this point. Like, guys, I needed one. That's great. But, like, I don't need 60,000 of them, so just
please
stop. They did introduce Meltan and Melmetal, which are two mythical Pokemon, but they're only, I think they're only obtainable in Pokemon Go, and they're the first mythical evolutionary line, so they're the first mythical Pokemon that evolves into another mythical Pokemon, so that's interesting. The more you know, I guess.
Hey, I don't even know Meltan was a thing. I'm looking up Meltan right now.
Yeah, I think we touched upon it because it was a question of where does the Pokedex end for Gen 7 and start for Gen 8. And Chris Scheim asked about it last time, and I think we determined that Meltan and Melmetal are the, in fact, last Pokemon before Generation 8 begins. So, the more you know. You can double battle Jesse and James in this game, which is cool, because, you know, they're the OG villains. Cool stuff.
That's cool. Yeah, finally. Yeah. You get a shout-out. More grunt.
I wrote that Mega Evolutions are back, except they never left because this is still Generation 7. So you could still Mega Evolve your Generation 1 Pokemon, which, if you want to, that's cool. I actually didn't know that about this game, so maybe I'll dive back into Let's Go Eevee and see where I can get those Mega Stones at. Or I don't know, or maybe they're not Mega Stones anymore. Or I forget how it works for this game, but that's cool. I like that. Yeah. You know, I love my Mega Evolutions. That's the stuff right there.
Oh, yeah.
This is also a nice feature, one that they've kind of adapted for Gen 8, but not the same. You could switch Pokemon from your box at any time from the bag itself, so there's no Pokemon boxes like at the Pokemon Center anymore. You could just switch it right from your bag, which is incredibly intuitive. Like, you feel like that would be something you could have done from the beginning. But
you want to hear something? I really appreciate that feature. I really do. But since I've gotten so used to the other way of going to the Pokemon Center to do that, I almost feel guilty that that's a possibility.
That's true. No, I get that. And not to get off track, but on the Isle of Armor, my biggest complaint is there is no Pokemon PC. Unless I haven't found it, I can't find a Pokemon PC on the island. I finally had enough watts to build one. But from the start, there wasn't one to find on the island, which is like frustrating. You have to fly back to the mainland of Galar.
Really?
And then you can go back with your new team. It is a little bit frustrating, but maybe I'm just doing something wrong. Who the hell knows? But there are exclusive new moves available for Pikachu and Eevee. Pikachu can learn, I mean, this is just like, I get what they were trying to do, but these names are so stupid. Pikachu can learn Zippy Zap, Splishy Splash, and Floaty Fall.
Come on, man.
I mean, I do have to remind myself this is a game made for children, and we're just men who played it when we were children and still play it now. So, like, this is probably why that it's, you know, these names are so childish.
All right, but look, go think about yourself at 10, and you heard Splishy Splash. I mean, even then,
you'd even then, you're probably right. I was probably like, yeah, that's kind of stupid.
Come on, man.
And then Eevee can learn more. Can learn Bouncy Bubble, Buzzy Buzz, Sizzly Slide, Glitzy Glow, Batty Bad, Sappy Seed, Freezy Frost, and Sparkly Swirl. Yeah, that's
what's the one, Batty Bad, you said?
I swear to God, the Dark-type move it can learn is Batty Bad. Yes.
That's unbelievable.
And you'd think that Sparkly Swirl and Glitzy Glow are both Fairy-type moves, but I think one of them is definitely the Psychic-type. I think that's Sparkly Swirl. Yeah,
gotta be.
Sizzly Slide also sounds like it could be the Water-type move, but it's the Fire-type move.
Is he? Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's just... And Buzzy Buzz, you think, would be a... is that a Bug-type? But that doesn't make any sense, because Eevee doesn't have a Bug-type evolutionary line.
Is it a Bug or is it Electric?
Oh my God, this is the confusion. That's the electric type move, but it sounds like it's a bug type move because it's buzzing.
Yeah, buzz, yeah, I know.
At least Sappy Seed got it right. That's a grass type move.
Sappy Seed, wow.
You can learn them from the move tutor in the Pokemon Centers of Cerulean City, Celadon City, and Fuchsia City. That's from Bulbapedia. Also, they have friendship damage based moves called Pika Papow and VV Volley. So there you go. Great. Awesome. So as we alluded to, in Generation 7, it was the first one that got rid of hidden machines. They did stick to that. Apparently didn't want to go back to that in Generation 1 because nobody liked them anyway. But Chop Down, which is Cut, Sea Skim, which is Surf, and Sky Dash, which is Flying, are among the secret techniques, quote-unquote, that replaced HMs. Which, you know what? Screw HMs. We never liked them anyway.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. You know, and especially bringing kids in, young kids, bringing them into this generation, dude. Get rid of HMs as it is, and obviously they've done so since. But
really helped to ingratiate them into the Pokemon community with not having to worry about HMs because they were stupid to begin with. So,
hey, speaking of kids though, they went from this game to Pokemon Sword and Shield. Damn, yeah.
Yes, I mean, that's a good start right there. And Sword and Shield, which we'll get into later this week, by far my favorite thing about the game in general is how, and this is going to sound bad for somebody who's in his mid-20s saying this, but how simple it is to play. Yeah. It is so intuitive. It is, and the fact that, like, because how many times are you just spamming the A button to get through dialogue, and you're like, oh, shit, what am I supposed to do? And then you click the menu and it tells you what your next step is. It's like it's you cannot screw it up. That's why I love the game. But anyway, we'll get into that later this week. But kind of getting to the end of this document here. There are certain Pokemon you have to battle in order to catch them, like Electrode and Snorlax. You do have to actually beat them to be able to capture them. Okay. Which is nice that you get to fight some Pokemon, and in any way, it's nice that you don't have to worry about not fighting any of them, so it gives you at least kind of a callback to the past in some way. And the only thing I have in here is a couple other notes. Master trainers, they appear after you become champion. They're the strongest trainers in Kanto. They only use one Pokemon from a certain type. You have to match it. You can't use any potions or full restores or any stuff like that, so you better be trained. I have not encountered one of those yet in the game.
Where would you encounter them? Where would they be?
I think they're spread across Kanto. Okay. But I beat the game, and then I didn't get to Mount Cerulean. I think I might be, if I pulled up my game now, I'm probably saved inside of Mount Cerulean, but or just outside of it. But I would have that and then the Master Trainers to go through, and that's pretty much it. Right. And then the last thing here, which is a nice added wrinkle, especially since they were so committed to the Gen 1 aesthetic, you can obtain the Alolan forms of Gen 1 Pokemon via in-game trades or Pokemon Go. So you at least have the option available to you to get Alolan Sandslash or Alolan Golem or whatever. You at least have those options available to you. Alolan Persian, by whatever reason you'd want that. But it at least allows you to do something a little different. And it makes sense, because why wouldn't you be able to get those if they're just the same type of Pokemon anyway?
Wait, so how do you do it again? How's it?
So they're like, you know, like the in-game trades were like, oh, I have a Mr. Mime, but I really want a Jinx. Do you have a Jinx? Like, so you would go up to them and they would say that, and then you would trade for the Alolan version of the Pokemon.
Oh, okay. Yeah. In-game, gotcha. So, yeah. Okay, all right.
In-game
yeah.
trades.
Oh, okay.
Or Pokemon Go, which, again, if you don't play it, then you're shit out of luck. But this, there's also Go Park, which allows you to, like, interact with your Pokemon and all that stuff. There's a lot of Pokemon Go tie-ins, like Steve said earlier, but most of them just kind of fell flat for me. But not most of them, all of them, because I really didn't play the game, so... yeah, there's that. But, Steve, any last thoughts on Generation 7 before we wrap up Let's Go Eevee and Pikachu?
I had a couple notes I'm just going to say.
Go for it.
Let's see. So, like we discussed, it was like a video game version of Pokemon Go. It was obviously for kids, difficult. It was not as difficult, obviously. It was the first game that seemed like it was super dumbed down. But, I mean, it was cool. Let's see. I did not get through this game. I like that you were able to have Pikachu walk behind you, like, you know, like old school Pokemon Yellow. And I did appreciate the fact that you got experience points for your whole team when you caught a Pokemon.
That's a good point. Thank you. Actually, I think that is – I can't remember if that was introduced in Sun and Moon or not, but that is a great addition to the game because – you don't even have to really... I don't know if experience share is gone in this game too, but it's great not even to worry about that anymore. Like, yeah. They pretty much went from it's a held item for one Pokemon, then to, you know what, you can get it and it'll be good for all your Pokemon, and make sure you turn it on in your key items. And now they're just like, you know what, don't even bother. Like, all your Pokemon get experience anyway, don't even worry about the experience share. It's all good.
I'm and so thankful for that feature.
That's how it... Yeah, Steve, thank you. That's how it always should have been. Like, they never should have had it any other way. And I get that you have to learn and there's bumps along the way, but, like, that's how it always should have been.
And another thing... And that's another thing I feel guilty about. That... I feel guilty that I grew up being used to, like, having to switch my guys out, and now it's so easy to just get experience for your entire party, and the idea you can switch Pokemon out with no problems without the use of a PC... I feel like a guilty old man.
Oh, don't feel guilty. Don't feel guilty, Steve. It's just, it's making it easier for all the players and all the Pokemon masters. What can we say? So that will do it. This is a bit of a shorter episode, like we said, because you can only really say so much about Generation 1 when it's remade a second, third time. And like other second remakes, it's not as good, but it's at best fine. So you know what? I didn't love it. I don't think I was necessarily as bored by it as Steve, and shout out again, Oliver Martel. But Overall, not the best Pokemon game by any stretch. It's probably the worst. It's definitely the worst Generation 1 game. That's for sure.
All right, out of 10, what would you rate it?
Probably like a... can I do decimal points or do I have to give a hard number?
Yeah, sure. Old school IGN style.
Give it like a 5.5.
That was lower than I thought you'd say.
Yeah.
I was thinking
on a really good day, like a 6.1 or 2, but like probably 5.5 overall. It's fine.
Yeah. That's a real review. I would give it a flat 5 to 4.9 because it was not enough for me to keep playing, and that's really hard for me to like most games I will play through or I'll try to, but this one it just I was fatigued at that point. I don't know what my problem was.
That's fair. No, that's fair. But so that'll do it for this episode. We have another one coming this week on Friday. That'll be about Sword and Shield. That'll be the first Gen 8 episode. We're also going to do one next week about the Isle of Armor and wrapping up Season 1 and previewing what we're going to be doing for Season 2. So we're excited about that. Steve, where can we find you on social media?
You can find me at Stephen O. Scott on Twitter and at Small State Takes.
Perfect, perfect. I am at Jacob_Morocco. This podcast is at The Elite 2 Pod on Twitter. You can find my other show, Crossing State Lines, at CSL Podcast on Twitter. And we will see you guys later this week.